This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Man, we are getting down to the time in the week where I feel like, one, everybody's just ready to get to the game. All right, we've talked a ton about these, and we've got still some great stuff planned today. Don't get me wrong, but like, you know, a little fast forward button, please, to 5:30.
You want
to
speed things up?
Yeah, like it's that point in time where, it's time. It's time to just go ahead and fast forward this thing. But that's not how this works. That's not how this whole thing works. You know, the media availability today was the last day of that. Like, the
so
Chiefs
won't
will
hear
not,
from anyone else
the
until after the game.
Will not talk again publicly until they're hoisting a Lombardi trophy. That's it. Until Tom Brady's walking through the field holding the Lombardi trophy, handing it to Patrick Mahomes.
The fact that it had to be John Elway one time and it could be Tom Brady the other. That is delicious.
Why wouldn't it be Tom? He's already there. Why not have it be Tom Brady? It'd be kind of fitting.
Sure, Fox would love that.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be very fitting, wouldn't it?
Although I'll say, I already don't like that they're bending the rules for Tom Brady as it relates to it. It's BS. Tom Brady is a broadcaster, but he's also an owner. As part of an owner, it turns out, you're not allowed to sit in things like production meetings because teams might give you insight for things they do in order to be successful. Tom Brady now has that knowledge and can take that knowledge to the team he partially owns.
Here's the knowledge of the Chiefs shared.
But it's so small and it won't help them because they're a loser franchise, but he shouldn't get the benefit of doing it. You don't get to I get the $400 million and I get to know all the knowledge to take it over there. That's not how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, I get Stupid. It. And they've claimed they've created some new rules for him and everything. Like overall,
they didn't
though,
need new rules. Just follow the rules like everyone else.
Overall. Well, no, new rules as in they made it even tougher, like because they know the optics are bad for it. They being the NFL. I was just saying in the meetings though, I mean, for a given week, what are they saying that Tom Brady doesn't already kind of know? I mean, oh, by the way, Tom, here's a secret. If you're the Raiders owner, you guys need to find a damn quarterback. We found one. His name's Patrick Mahomes. That's the secret. That's
He's
a big part of the secret.
Good.
And you need to have you need the best QB and the best quarterback coach combo of all time. You need that. And then you guys are going to be right on track.
I know,
right
but track. It's just like, it's the idea that wouldn't allow any other owner to have proprietary information about any other franchise.
No, I got you. I got you.
He doesn't deserve special dispensation just because Fox paid him $400 million.
Our big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. You guys can always hit us up on the text line as well. 913-586-7965. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll check back in New Orleans. You just heard Fesco and Dusty wrap up the Thursday coverage from there. Fesco going to call in around 10:40 or so. I want to get his perspective. I saw today he's gone full Mardi Gras mode. He's got the mask and everything today on Radio Row. I want to get his vibe on New Orleans because I was seeing some national reporting that they believe, and we'll see if Bob agrees, that's like 70% or 80% Philly fans so far on Canal Street.
Time?
So we'll see. That's right. It was in Phoenix as well. So we'll check in with Bob. Also a little bit later on, Dane and Hughes going to join us. He's in New Orleans. So we've got you covered here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. first and foremost for the game itself, Barkley is priority number one. I think we all recognize that. And there's been a lot of discussion about what is he going to do? Like what's the Chiefs' plan and everything like that. Some more numbers to discuss what we think the Chiefs will end up doing, what Spags has planned for Saquon, what should be the plan and all of that. And we'll ask Dana about it later, but the back-breaking 60-plus yard touchdowns from Barkley. Everybody knows that's the key. Yeah. Stopping those. He's going to
easier said than done.
Easier said than done, no doubt. Like, if it was so simple, it's like, oh, just stack the box and he can't do it. No, of course. He's that incredible of a player.
Yeah.
Now, the Chiefs are a better defense than what he has faced recently. But this stat has been floating around since 2018. So this goes back a ways. The Chiefs, even if they give up 50 or more rush yards than they themselves get. So if they're outrushed by 50 or more.
So like if they get 50 yards and the team gets 100.
Yeah, exactly. Kareem Hunt and Pacheco combined for 75 yards, but Barkley and Hurts combined for a buck 50. Even if that happens, when the Chiefs are outrushed by 50 or more, the Chiefs still win at a 63% clip. They're 24-14 in those games. No other NFL team, when that same scenario happens, has won 35%. Of their
There's
games
so many
in
stats
the same
like this for
time
Kansas City.
Frame.
Like the stat yesterday, right, that everyone was in awe of, which was Patrick Mahomes is more likely to go to a Super Bowl than complete a pass. Like, he's statistically more likely to go to a Super Bowl than he is to just complete a pass, which is stupid in its own right. But that's what they do. It doesn't matter that they get outrushed because of their passing attack. And going back to Saquon, like you said, it's okay to get certain yardage. It's not okay to late in the game, to in the middle of the game, give up these long runs. And late in the game is where I think this is important. I went back to the stats that we were talking about because we had Tyrann Mathieu on. They had Saquon held down in a low-scoring slugfest with the Eagles early in the year. And Saquon broke off a couple of long ones at the end of the game. And then it was all she wrote. And what he had said is you got to play four quarters against the guy. And that's where I don't think you want to get lulled into comfort. It might be halftime. And Saquon might have 47 yards. And you might be like, oh, really doing great. It. Mm-hmm. Really doing it here. Do not get lulled into a false sense of confidence. I think I would give up the amount that you normally wouldn't want to give up on the ground to avoid the long run. Is that I'm saying I wouldn't load the box. His long runs come when teams try to stop the run. When they're like, we're stopping the run. Because he makes one or two guys at the first couple of levels miss, and then it's just one safety standing on the back end. And if you're that safety, I bet you wish for death rather than trying to choose which way Saquon Barkley is going.
That was exactly the scenario that Matthew brought up. Is it's like, you know, Derrick Henry, he'll run you over, but you know where he's going at least. Saquon, you really don't know. I mean, for God's sake, he went out and backflipped over somebody and was able to spin around. Like it was insane. Basically backflip, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like he hurtled backwards over a defender this year.
Cool.
I mean, it was insane. So that's the danger. I guess I just have, and I think you do too, and how can we not at this point? I have ultimate faith that Steve Spagnuolo either A, right out of the gate, is going to have a successful plan, or the adjustment is going to happen, because I think we have enough of a sample size under Spags. And while Saquon is a generational player, I would argue Derrick Henry is also a generational player, a different player as we just described, but it's not as if the Chiefs under Spags, who have not given up many 100-plus yard rushers, have just faced a bunch of scrubs. They have gone up against Christian McCaffrey in the Super Bowl last year. They've gone up against Derrick Henry in big games. This will be the first time going up against Barkley. That's the difference, and he's having an unbelievable season. But I just believe when you have a healthy Jalen Watson now, and you have Trent McDuffie, the two corners they're going to operate with against Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown are going to give the flexibility to Spags for whatever he wants to do, whether it is at times. And I think Russ Tucker brought this up yesterday. It's not going to be the same thing the whole game anyway. This is Steve Spagnuolo we're talking about. So they might sell out on the Ron Cody in certain instances, for sure. That's not going to be the plan the entire game. Whatever the plan is in the first quarter doesn't mean he's not going to pivot. And that's the beautiful thing. He's great at adjusting. So Saquon might end up with 95, 100 yards in this game. That's cool. That's not the problem. It's the 60-plus yard fourth quarter. You're up by a touchdown, and all of a sudden, it's a tie game, and he's got a buck 30 just because of that.
You realize during this Super Bowl run for them, this like seven-year run, the two best running backs in individual yardage performances were both the running backs for Tom Brady. It was LeGarrette Blount and Sony Michel. Those were the two most, so not, you know, like I wouldn't call them household names. Blount was around for a while.
Sony Michel.
Sony Michel was certainly on some consistent Super Bowl teams, but like those aren't the guys you were expecting to put up the most yardage. The part about it, I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit, that makes it harder for Saquon in this game is the passing game is going to get tested because of the corners. Because of McDuffie, because of the blitzes, because of Watson, all this other stuff, their passing game is going to be tested for the first time, maybe all year. We'll see. And that's going to make this Barkley thing. I'm just saying I would give up the 7 yard runs. And I know you're like, but that's an auto first down. And that just gives you the tush push and your way to glory and everything else kind of in between and the stuff that just makes sense. But I would take that risk and hope that, like we mentioned earlier in the week, Felix and UDK Uzama or Karloftis or Chris Jones or whoever, Gold, find some way to be like the occasional stop Saquon Barkley before he gets 6 or 7. But I'm not selling out against the run. It's just not worth it because when you do that, it seems like that's when Saquon gets you worse. And I know someone's like, all you gotta do is not miss tackles. Easier said than done.
Yes.
When Saquon Barkley is the running back.
But they will have to be, easier said than done, but they will have to be really effective at doing that in this football game. You just cannot give the yards after contact. You're going to give up some. I mean, it's going to happen. It just cannot be a consistent problem throughout. And I think, heading this game with the group of linebackers also, if we're talking about that, it's one thing if you get pushed from your interior. That's what you're hoping too. But from Chris Jones and those guys up front and Mike Pinnell big time, if you're talking about from the outside, though, you're right. It's Karloftis. It's going to be Chanel on as far as the linebacker goes. That's going to come up and be really important in this game for Kansas City. Saquon Barkley, if you're wondering, his over-unders right now sit at 109.5. I'm waiting till Sunday evening to bet the under.
You're waiting for him to come down?
To go up. No, because I want to bet the under. If you're wanting to bet the over, then yeah, bet it now.
Sure.
I think people will bet on the over more and more throughout the weekend. I was talking to somebody last night on that betting show, and they believe that this weekend we're going to see a lot of Philly money come in. So the line could go down, the rushing yards could go up for Barkley, and that's a great opportunity, I think, especially if you're a Chiefs backer.
Yeah, if you are, and that's the number you're right. If that's the number you're looking for, it definitely makes sense to hold on, but they just don't get burnt. They get beat in the run game, right? Even the last two games, Joe Mixon certainly had his effort on the run game, and James Cook, both those guys, and sometimes in the receiving end. I got into that argument with the text line, right? Because they were like, he's a great receiving back. And our former producer, Nick, who happened to be in town and listening to the show, said in his elite level pass catcher. He was, when he was a rookie in the league, an elite level pass catcher, Saquon Barkley. Over the last couple of years, he's mediocre.
They don't use him in that way
Just don't.
But he's still, don't get me wrong, they give him an open space. He's still capable of doing the exact same thing once they get the ball in his hands.
But it's not the same. It's not the same as some of the other people you'd be used to or some of the other guys like James Cook, right? I don't think they use him in that way. It's not to say that they can't. The one thing the Chiefs have been killed in consistently during the offensive struggles before Jalen Watson was back was the flats. Like, they couldn't guard anybody out on the edges, and that's because linebacker play. That's why tight ends kill them. That's why Goddard's dangerous. That's why all these other things. I'm just saying, like, I'd worry about all those things before I was like, I'm selling my soul to stop the run. I'm not selling my soul to stop the run. I understand what Saquon Barkley
can do. It's still priority number one, though.
You know, I understand avoiding the 60-yard touchdowns for sure.
Barkley, like, figuring out how to contain him is still priority number one, I would say. But I just have plenty of confidence. Yeah. I mean, in Spags. I mean, my goodness, how can you not with the track record and what he's done with this personnel, what he's done year after year, and certainly what he's done in Super Bowls and just 2 weeks ago, and how he confused Josh Allen on the biggest play of the game. He confused him. Let's not kid ourselves. Josh Allen's great, but he got confused.
He slipped protection to the wrong side. He made a bad. Yeah. Just all across the board, he screwed it up. Yep.
One thing that I don't know how anybody could. Even if you're betting on the Eagles, even if you think the Eagles are winning this game, and that's fine. Like, if you think the Eagles are winning this game, it's not a crazy thing to say. They're a very good football team. It's a 1.5-point spread for a reason. But suggesting that the Chiefs could get blown out, that's where I do think you're a bit crazy. I bring this up because our Odyssey betting network, BetMGM network, was talking about the possibility of either team blowing out their opponent. This comes from yesterday, I believe. Their midday or afternoon show there on BetMGM Network. Listen to this.
I don't care what happened in the last Super Bowl between these two. A lot of people will say, oh, well, watch the last time they played. It was 38-35. Doesn't matter. Teams are different. Defenses are different. Coordinators are different in Philly. Really, the strongest point in this game is going to come down to how the Chiefs stop the run. But if the Eagles take the opening kick and put together a 12-play, 75-yard touchdown drive on the back of Saquon Barkley, and the Chiefs come out and go three and out, punt the ball away, you know, this thing could get sideways. That's the other thing I keep hearing. Well, the Chiefs aren't going to get blown out. Why not? Why can't the Chiefs get blown out? For every time somebody brings up, you know, the Chiefs in the Eagles game, 38-35, why can't I just counter with Tampa Bay, Kansas City? 31-9. You know, what happens if Joe Tooney goes out of this game? How are the Chiefs going to block that defensive front with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis? There's a lot of Kansas City can't lose. Kansas City can't get blown out. Why not? Why is that the case? The Eagles can get blown out. Oh, okay. But the Chiefs can't.
That was on BetMGM Network yesterday. Well, look, the Chiefs can lose this game. Absolutely, they can lose this game. I don't think they will. But using the, well, if the Eagles can get blown out, so can the Chiefs, and why is nobody saying that? You can reference the Bucs Super Bowl game all you want. The Chiefs' offensive line was completely decimated in that game. Before the game started, so you already knew that. Patrick Mahomes, and it's one of our favorite stats to always reference, Patrick Mahomes has only lost by one score, or more than one score, I'm sorry, five times. Four entering this season. The fifth happened in the Buffalo game in week 11.
When he lost by nine and had the ball with 2 minutes to go. So.
He's played in, I think, is it 135, 140 games, something like that, at this point in his NFL career. Five times he's, quote unquote, got blown out.
But, you know, to say it, you know, to that guy, Sammy, I think is maybe what the
Twitter said. Yeah, I can't pronounce his last name, so that's why I avoided it.
So, Sammy P is what they called him over on Twitch. Yeah,
his last name, I can't pronounce it. So
when you start looking, it's like, well, but one out of four times in the Super Bowl, you know?
Right.
25% of the time he gets blown out of the Super Bowl, it's delusional.
You don't blow out the Chiefs. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen. If it happens, it'd be the sixth time in Patrick Mahomes' entire career. I just don't buy it. And then if we're going to, like, once I lost a little bit of like the, you know, give a, you know, what about the take there when I heard him say, well, what if Joe Tooney's out for the game? Well, yeah, no kidding. What if all of a sudden Saquon Barkley's out for the whole game? Then what happens? Like, I can play that
then
game.
Then Philly's going to get blown out.
Like, that's, I'd say we can't do that. If with any sporting event, if I say, it's the NBA finals and, you know, 7 years ago, what if LeBron James is suddenly out for the finals? Then what happens to the Cavs or whatever? Like, well, no kidding. If Steph Curry all of a sudden was out, yeah, you're right. If Patrick Mahomes is out for the game, you're right, they're in trouble. If you know, no kidding, like, what are we doing? You can't bring up injuries. What if so and so gets hurt in the game? Then what? We can do that in every sporting event for every player.
This is where our text line and Twitch are so good. He says it's Pantiotovich, by the way, is apparently maybe how this guy's last name is pronounced.
It's definitely not pronounced that way.
Really?
No, did you hear what you just said?
No, is it bad?
You said Pantiotovich.
Maybe I read the phonetic spelling slightly different, doesn't really matter, but when you look at it. From, like, if you have to create a scenario gold in which the way they get blown out is, okay, here's his hypothetical, just to be clear. His hypothetical is they go down and score on an 80-plus yard touchdown. Then the Chiefs go three and out. Then Joe Tooney is also hurt during that first drive for the remainder of the game. And the Eagles got on a score. Yes, I guess. If all four of those things occur to start the football game, the team will get blown out. If you're asking me how could the Chiefs get blown out, I do think an injury to the offensive line is probably a part of that equation. I don't really think if the offensive line, as it currently sits, stays healthy, unless Jalen Carter just has some Aaron Donald-type game against Mike Caliendo, that a blowout is possible. For the Chiefs, it's really not that crazy. If they hold down Saquon Barkley and the Eagles' passing game struggles the way that it has, well, then it's not that hard to foresee. I don't think it's a blowout either way is the truth. I don't think the Chiefs are blowing out the Eagles, and I don't think the Eagles are blowing out the Chiefs, but it's far less likely the Chiefs get blown out.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, is there a scenario as well where they actually come out and the Eagles do pass well on the first drive, and then the Chiefs are like, oh no, they can't stop the pass, and then all of a sudden the Eagles are just effectively able to run the next drive, then the Chiefs are caught off balance. Yeah, that's a bad spot to be in. But I don't care if we're doing our picks for this game tomorrow, if we were doing this in week one, if my game prediction involves well, if this player gets hurt, then they're screwed. That's not a game prediction. I'm sorry. It's just not. I mean, that's Cody. I like the Eagles to win if Mahomes gets hurt. That's my take. I mean, come on.
Or if Jalen Hurts goes out, or Saquon or Cooper DeGene. And I'm not saying a player can't get hurt, but if you're starting to go into the game and create a narrative about how they could get blown out, you better come at least with some plan of what if they all play? Then can they get blown out? Then is it possible? How does the game play out that way? And still, like, we talked about this all the time. He never gets blown out, which is a whole other part of it. The Chiefs have trailed by 10 points or more in all four Super Bowls they've played, Gold. And what happened? They won 3 out of 4. They did get blown out in the one. And I know that this is going to sound like I'm putting the caveat, because he's like, the Eagles are going to blow him out. I know the final score of that game was 31-9, the Bucs game. But I will point out that even though that was the final score, it was inside of a touchdown in the third quarter with like 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Like, so it's not like they were just getting run out of the building in the first quarter, like he's talking about. Saquon gets the ball, then they just get to run it the rest of the time. I don't see it.
Yeah, so I just heard that and I was like, okay, you know, pick the Eagles to win. That's not a crazy thing at all. It's just the blowout part of it. And acting like, why is nobody saying they can get blown out? Well, there's good reason why. You know, it's just one time, you know, five times Mahomes by blowout, and you know, by NFL standard, more than one score is a blowout, right? We had that whole debate after the Cleveland game. Remember, people were trying to say the Chiefs didn't blow out Cleveland in week 15, 21-7. They're like, no, that's a blowout by NFL standards. They won by 14 points.
The average margin of victory in the NFL is like 3 points. So if you beat them by 14, you have destroyed them.
Look, go take that alt line if you want on the Eagles to win by 10 or more points. You can get some good value on that if that's the bet you want to make.
I guess it's also like, you and I have never had that conversation this week, nor would I have that conversation this week, because in a Super Bowl, that's not what I care about anyway. I'm not trying to, like, this doesn't have to be the 49ers versus the Denver Broncos and it's 55-10. It's the Super Bowl. You don't get 1.5 rings or two of them because you beat a team by 45. It doesn't matter if Malcolm Butler picks the ball off in the final seconds of the game or you beat them 55-10. You hoist one Lombardi trophy, get a ring, counts as one championship. So, like, they're like, well, we could blow you out. Oh, you got me. Either win the game or don't. I don't care about whether or not the Chiefs are in a blowout. I'm trying to figure out how they just win a close game against Philly. I don't care whether or not I think they can blow out Philly.
It truly doesn't matter how it's done. More, I mean, we said that in the regular season, but for the Super Bowl, it's just kind of obvious. You know, just find,
it doesn't matter.
Just
it really
win,
matter,
baby. Yeah. Just win. Just find a way to win. All right, we'll get right back into the Eagles. And one thing that's interesting about their pass offense this year and how they've stacked up against some of these defenses, that's coming up in 10 minutes. But the NFL announced some scheduling news yesterday. It's just looking ahead a little bit. But you know there's a good chance next year even the Chiefs could be playing internationally again. If not, maybe 2026. The NFL did announce that it will play its first regular season game in Melbourne, Australia, beginning in 2026. It's a multi-year commitment. The reason why we bring this up here locally is because the Rams are the home team for that 2026 game, and of course the Chiefs do play at the Rams in 2026. So basically,
if
the Chiefs are not hosting an international game next year, which is definitely in play, maybe in Germany, then there's a really good chance they would be playing at the Rams in 2026, or I guess it could be both, but I'll be stunned if the Chiefs get through the next two seasons without having to play an international game, given next year's schedule, and then if not, where the things would stand in 2026 against the Rams.
Yeah,
look, the Chiefs' home schedule next year, I'm looking way ahead, like from the hosting international, it'd be interesting which games they would actually take away from you know, we know they took away Miami, like in fairness.
Their road schedule is a dream.
But like,
their
but home at home,
schedule's tough.
And then they got like the Commanders and the Eagles, I believe. I mean, those are two massive home games out of division. Yeah, we know they're not going to put a divisional game overseas. Usually.
Well, and we know if there's a Friday game or a Wednesday game or a Tuesday game or some other day of the week, we know they're playing that day. Mm-hmm. So we can just go ahead and pencil them in. They're probably playing in Australia. And the timing of this is where it becomes interesting to me, is because once you start looking at the start times for these games, you're like, okay, they got to play like 10 a.m. in Australia or 11 a.m.
It could be 11 o'clock.
They have to be noon.
It could
noon. That'd be an 8 p.m. start.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, that's like an 8-hour later.
They could do a 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time kick in Central Time, and then it could be 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock Australia.
And so I guess
not that crazy.
I guess not too bad when you look at
it. The national title game for the college basketball starting at 8:40.
Why is it starting so late?
It's just because the game's not four hours long.
Do they hate people watching their sport, though? 8:40. Are you actively trying to get people to not watch your sport?
In fairness, it's starting earlier this year.
Earlier?
Yes.
At 8:40?
8:40 is earlier by 20 minutes or something.
No, yeah, I don't remember.
It's 8:40. Duke versus Missouri, based on anybody who's talking in this building.
Missouri lost last night.
I mean, they also could, like, theoretically, they could play it at a different
The NFL is not agreeing to a deal to host games in Australia if they thought they were going to have to air the game at 5 a.m. here. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be fine. The game will air at 11 a.m. or something when that happens, and it won't be that big of a deal.
Will teams hit a break point? So, like, they obviously limit the number of primetime games for a reason because they don't want to alter the schedules. But if you're the Chiefs, do you ask for a rule that says I can only do so much nonsense in a single season? So just for instance, let's say in 2026, they have to go to Melbourne. And in addition to that, they want them to play on like Christmas Day and the Black Friday game. Yep. And they won the Super Bowl again, so they got to play on the Thursday before. That was not as big of a deal. But they got this season, they played on 6 of the 7 days of the week.
Yep.
They didn't have it, or they did have an international.
And Christmas is on. They did not have international.
Oh no!
In 2026, Christmas is on a Friday.
Yeah, but even this next year, the Christmas is on a Thursday. So.
Like they don't seemingly. I think that they need to start lumping these international games in as they count towards the primetime thing. So you can only mess with my schedule so much, and the holiday ones. That's primetime too. I got to play at noon on Christmas. That counts. Like, and I think that those do, but I need them all to count towards it so that there's a limit of the amount of nonsense you can do to my schedule, right? There's a limit to how many Monday night, Thursday night, international games that take place on Christmas Day on a Wednesday. Like, there's got to be at some point, I think if you're the best of the best teams, that you want like some sort of cap on the craziness.
Yeah, it's the circus though. Like we've talked about this. It's the NFL circus and
spread the pain around.
Everybody sees the Chiefs. So why not do the Chiefs when it's, I mean, in a way, in fairness, the Chiefs have kind of done it to themselves because all they do is keep on winning. So, and the fact that they keep on getting chosen for these things, it's kind of their own fault. Obviously, you would take the trade-off because it results in Super Bowls, but
Chris Jones said, you know, he was going to talk to the NFLPA in the offseason and all this stuff about, hey, if you're going to have us on all these days, though, at least give our bye week. I think that's the biggest thing. Can you at least push the bye week later on to the season? But the fact that they're in the Super Bowl and maybe going to win one on Sunday, despite that schedule, the NFL's probably like, well, you know.
Could you imagine if you asked for a rule that said if you win the Super Bowl in descending order, so like whatever the descending draft order is, you get to choose your bye week. So if you're the team who wins the championship, you're like, choose your bye week. You're like, jackpot. Last week of the season, whatever it is, right? The last week you do buys.
Oh, last week you do buys. Yeah, so you pick week 12, week 13 buy or something like that. Yeah. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, like even like you choose your buy if you get to do it. If you're the number one seed, sorry, your buy's in week 5. Get better. You want a better bye week? Be better. Like, I don't know what to tell you. There's never a benefit for the good teams other than championships.
There's a very good chance that the Chiefs in the next 2 years are international, either next year or 2026 when they just announced that Melbourne will be the host city for the LA Rams. All right, up next, let's get back into the Eagles. The past offense, has it actually been tested? We'll tell you why there's some reason to believe it's not. Plus, we're going to go back down to New Orleans. Bob Fesco will join us here.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
96.5 The Fan. Coming up in about 7 minutes, we'll head down to New Orleans. We'll check in with Bob Fesco of Fesco and Dusty. They, of course, have been in New Orleans all week, providing our coverage for the big game. We'll get the feel of New Orleans. I know they've been taking in the sights. I want to just get a breakdown of the Philly fans compared to Chiefs fans, and then also just some of the guests they had on today. They had a loaded lineup today, including talking to Drew's guy, Trey Hendrickson. What'd you make of that, man?
Wow. I hope they said who day.
I don't think they did.
Seriously, they were wearing Chiefs gear. They did not say who day to him.
Dusty,
I saw Joe Burrow doing the rounds too. He was talking to everybody.
There are every single interview he's done. They ask him the same question, obviously about the contract stuff, but also how do you beat Patrick Mahomes? The rest of the league is so desperate. They're asking Joe Burrow, how do you do it? Because nobody else can. Please.
And he only has like a 30% success rate.
And he responded. And then you left out the part of the interview. They also let him ask questions. He asked, how do I get back to the postseason? How do I make the playoffs and be relevant again? They didn't have an answer for him on that one, but he was trying to figure out, how do I get back to the playoffs? It's been a couple of years.
He was talking about the slow starts and everything like that.
I've completely underrated the problem. The biggest problem with your Cincinnati Bengals, Drew, is that they are a horribly run organization. And bad run organizations, they're like the Giants, but they just managed to find quarterback. If they had Daniel Jones, they would look as dysfunctional as an organization as the Giants. They just got a good quarterback, they save a little face.
Do we have the drop? The text line claims Dusty said who day on air. I want that drop saved forever. I need that drop saved in the system.
You guys talk about me becoming a Chiefs fan. Well, guess what? I might be flipping Dusty to a Bengals fan.
Someone says he said something about who day nation. He didn't say who day to
the guys did say who day this morning at the end.
Okay.
Interesting.
Let's go.
We'll talk to Bob about
that's what the text line's claiming.
Before Bob joins us, let's talk about this Eagles pass offense and whether or not they've actually been tested this year. So Warren Sharp put out some of the numbers behind this. Basically, it's strength of schedule for pass offenses. Based on this, the Eagles offense played the easiest schedule of pass defenses this year.
There's a reason why they were the number one ranked pass defense is what you're telling me?
Well, their pass offense.
Yeah.
The opposite. Their offense played the easiest schedule going
against
up. They played
defenses.
The worst pass defense of football. The Chiefs, on the other hand, their pass defense has been tested the fourth most dropbacks versus top 10 pass offenses. So if you're asking, like, who's been more tested, the Chiefs defense has played top 10 offenses. The Eagles have played the bottom end of offenses in defenses. Now you got me confused saying it backwards. Sorry.
No, it's
the
good.
Eagles offense has played the number one easiest schedule of pass defenses.
They have not
this
been
year.
Tested. Yes. Their pass offense has not been tested. Kansas City's pass offense has.
Yeah. I mean, so when we talked about the path in the playoffs, that's one thing. I didn't realize it extends to the regular season, too. I knew that the Commanders defensively was not a test for Jalen Hurts and for the Eagles. What I did not realize is that throughout the regular season, they were the least tested offense in terms of going up against pass defenses in the league.
So it's like always a balance because, like, I'm trying to read between the lines a little bit. Is that because teams weren't trying to, but they played 16 other games? Like, this isn't just how they did against Philadelphia. This is how those pass defenses did against any team in the league, anybody who could have passed against them, which tells me Philly's pass offense is even worse than we've probably made it out to be. And the Chiefs are going up against what they have been going up against all year. If they've been the fourth most tested team pass offense wise, going up the number one doesn't change anything. That's essentially what they've been facing for the entire calendar year. So what you've gotten out of the Chiefs pass offense, you should expect out of the Chiefs pass offense, I would say over the last 6 weeks or so, because that's when they got Hollywood Brown back and some of these other guys to incorporate into their offense. I don't know what to predict out of Philly on here from a pass offense. I look at A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith and I say that still works. But Jalen Hurts ranks 37th out of 37 qualified quarterbacks. So dead last in passer rating when pressured. So like their pass offense is still incredibly dependent on whether or not he is standing on his own 2 feet. And so if the Chiefs get any kind of pressure, he has shrunk in those situations. I think largely because of the stat you just pointed out. They have been not tested very often in that. So the pass game still works because nobody's actually challenged them.
And I don't know if it's been due to injury at times this year for Jalen Hurts. And again, he's coming off a game in which he played great, but compared to the other dual threat QBs the Chiefs have faced in the AFC, that's the thing. It's like they've played Lamar and Josh Allen, two of the best, you know, dual threat quarterbacks that exist. And those guys can, to me, throw on the run far more effectively than Jalen Hurts. Now, when Jalen Hurts can run, but can he get pressured, roll out to his right, and fire off a throw? I don't believe he's nearly as effective at doing that. He is a guy that needs to, if he's going to throw the ball, he needs to be in the pocket more. Whereas Josh Allen, we all know, if he rolls out, he can throw an unbelievable ball. He's very dangerous doing
yes.
that. Lamar, for obviously. There's other quarterbacks the Chiefs have faced this year that are effective doing that. That's not to me what Jalen Hurts is. He's dangerous because you don't know if he's going to take off and run as well. But in terms of him going towards the sideline and firing a bullet down the field to A.J. Brown, that's not to me his game. And that's a luxury that the Chiefs, I think, actually have in this. That's what's so weird when we talk about these matchups. Like what they're going to see from Philly, with the exception of Saquon Barkley, and we've gone through that whole conversation already today. The Eagles don't have anything that the Chiefs look at and say, oh my gosh, we've never seen anything like you before. We've never seen that. No, they play offensive line wise, the Eagles O-line, how great it is. The Bills O-line they just played is better. It just is.
I thought Houston's.
Houston's defensive front is better.
Yeah.
Bills O-line is better. Like that's what's interesting when we've discussed this matchup. The Eagles don't have a better O-line than what the Chiefs have faced at some point this year. They don't have a better defensive front than the Chiefs have faced. This is not like, oh my gosh, they've never seen a team like this before. That's not the case. They've seen multiple
Somebody
teams
said
like
Andrew
this.
Andrew Brandt was making it sound like this is the best defensive line he's ever seen. That's why
I don't buy that at all.
I think Philly's defensive line 2 years ago was better than this one.
All right, let's go back out to New Orleans, though. Bob Fesco, of course, host of Fesco and Dusty. They've been broadcasting live from New Orleans all week long. You guys have made it to Thursday. At this point in time, it starts to get a little crazier, doesn't it?
Oh, it's wild. We just finished an interview with Darren Woodson, actually taping for tomorrow's show, and it may have been the best one we've done this week.
Nice.
Darren, when we're done, we're kind of talking off the air, and Darren's like, what do you think of the game? I'm like, well, of course, 35-0. you're an effing homer, bro. I'm like, yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't know about the videos all year. That's new. Was the Chiefs hat on today, or I thought I saw on the video stream, are you just going full Mardi Gras mode today?
I had the Chiefs hat on and a Mardi Gras mask as well. You got to embrace where you are, be part of the culture. You wear the mask so they know you're not a tourist, right? Like in New York, you wear the I Heart New York shirt, whatnot. In Paris, I wore a beret. In New Orleans, I wore a Mardi Gras mask. That way they know you're local, you blend.
I'm not sure that's how it works, but you know what? I like your approach. We'll at least adjust to that. We kept asking the question. I know you guys have had some interactions on the street with Eagles fans that Dusty described yesterday, but the last time Alex and I were in a Super Bowl city, it was like 70-30 Eagles fans on the street, and it eventually ended up being 70-30 Eagles fans in the stadium. Is that the kind of sense you're getting early on?
Well, I think that early on, yeah, there are a lot of Philadelphia people down here, but, you know, they kind of stand out because they're loud, boisterous, obnoxious, and quite honestly not very entertaining anymore, right? Like the Philadelphia fan, in my opinion, is getting very old with their behavior and the way that they act. And so there are a lot of them down here, but we're starting to see a lot of Chiefs fans kind of descend. I mean, there were 21 flights added, guys, down to New Orleans over the next couple of days to get people here for the game for a reason, right? So a lot of Chiefs fans are coming down. I think a lot are going to start rolling in today. I know a lot are rolling in on Friday. Saturday, there'll be a lot here. And with the ticket prices dropping, maybe more and more Chiefs fans are going to start coming into town to be part of this thing.
It does seem like if there was ever a year during this run, Bob, to go to a Super Bowl based on the ticket prices, I mean, I'm not saying it's cheap by any means, but considering Super Bowl prices, this thing keeps going down. I think, is that just the fact that people are sick of this matchup? They faced each other 2 years ago?
Well, no, that's the low-hanging clickbait fruit articles that they're rolling out there. The reason the ticket prices are dropping, that nobody wants to mention the truth, and again, with the Chiefs, we have to tell everybody the truth versus what the media is portraying about them. This stadium seats 10,000 more people than the Dome in Vegas does. And so when you have 10,000 more people that can fit into a building, you're going to see the price of tickets drop a little bit because there's more supply for those tickets. When you have a building that's 62 or 63,000 like Vegas was versus 72, 73, whatever, 74,000 that the Superdome is, sure, there's going to be a lot more tickets available in a situation like that. That's because the venue is so big. Had this been played in a smaller venue, we'd be talking about the same thing, I believe, as we did last year. And people are getting Chiefs fatigue, guys. Look at the TV ratings. There were two playoff games this year that rated higher than a year ago and both involved the Chiefs. Everybody else's playoff numbers were lower. People still love watching this football team.
It's because you want to watch Patrick Mahomes. You want to watch the greatness and everything that comes in there. Have you done your part? Have you found where the refs are staying and given them their proper bribe?
Have I? I'm sorry, you broke out.
I said, have you found where the refs are staying at hotel-wise and given them the bribe that they deserve?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I know exactly where everybody is staying down here. I'm actually moving into the Eagles team hotel tomorrow. at some point in time, we were already at the Eagles team hotel. People hanging out at the Eagles team hotel. A lot of fans hanging out there. The Chiefs hotel the other day, though, we were just walking by and out on the streets. People are going crazy. You know, they want to get inside. They want to see what's going on. They want to be part of everything that's going on with this Chiefs organization.
We're talking to Bob Fesco, host of Fesco and Dusty. They, of course, are in New Orleans for Super Bowl 59. How's the arrangement been working out with Dusty and Mac? We saw Dusty or heard Dusty's voice this morning. It seemed a little rough. Are you like just saying, hey, I'm going to bed at 9 and they're just staying out till 2? What's the breakdown like for you guys so far?
I do go to bed early. I go in at about 8 or 9 o'clock. I'm an adult in this situation, you know, and so I've been to New Orleans before. So, hey, look, you got to answer the bell early, right, and get ready to go. And so, I go down fairly early in this, and it's great. Have my own, you know, kind of two-bedroom apartment, close the door, go to bed. I don't know where they go after 8 o'clock at night.
I'll have to ask because we saw that you guys had Trey Hendrickson on the show. Of course, you guys can catch that up on our webpage, 96.5thefan.com, but Drew had passingly said, well, I hope they told him who, Dan. I'm like, they didn't do that. They wouldn't do that, but the text line's telling us you did. Did you say who day to Trey Hendrickson?
Yeah, Dusty did. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Huh, okay.
Why?
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
That's some shocked.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that's what they say, whatever it means. They kind of stole it from New Orleans.
That's true. They did steal it.
Day, and so, you know, that kind of thing going on. Trey Hendrickson, though, I go, how old are you, man? He goes, I'm 30. I go, you look like you're 22. The guy's aging gracefully. I mean, he looks awesome for 30 years old, 17 and a half sacks, pushing deodorant at the Super Bowl. That's a life to be living right now, my man.
Got that Old Spice shirt on. All right, what's the craziest thing you've seen so far on Radio Row? Either it's an individual or just like, I can't believe this person is doing this right now.
Well, there's another radio station lying about things. But other than that, I mean, there's not a lot of craziness that I know what it is. A Division I basketball coach doing a radio show in the middle of the basketball season instead of being with his team. Like, seriously, Doug Gottlieb, douche.
All right, Bob, we'll let you get back to appreciate you coming on. We'll let you get back to interviewing, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Have fun. We'll see you.
There you go. Bob Fesco, host of Fesco and Dusty. They're in New Orleans. Stay tuned tomorrow. Sounds like they got Darren Woodson and plenty of other guests coming your way tomorrow. Doug Gottlieb being there in the middle of the basketball season is nuts. It's one thing he's been doing his show still.
Told you, the guy sucks.
That was a huge thing. Like the fact that he was still doing a show and he moved practices to the afternoon or whatever morning to go around his schedule, whatever. But at least you can say he's there. The fact that he is away from his team for a week in the middle of a season in which they have two freaking wins just so he can be on Radio Row is insane. Like, should fire his ass immediately.
Why he's did not they hire winning. Him in the first
It'd be
place?
One thing if he was winning. You're like, well, he's winning. What are we going to do? No, he's got two wins, and he's basically leaving the team. He's like, oh, you guys aren't important to me. I'd rather do my radio gig in New Orleans all week.
How have the players not been like, coach, I'm not playing for you? Like, how have they not just quit?
Well, they have, based on the number of wins they have. I told you, he sucks.
If I was a player, I'd be like, coach, I'm not playing. Like I'd go on strike. Like, coach, I'm not playing for you.
The problem is you do that. And then other coaches like, oh, so you're a quitter.
No,
he's quit on the team. And he'd be like, I just enter the transfer portal now. Right. I'm in the portal.
Yeah, something.
I'm looking for a new team.
It sounds like they might all stink too.
I think coaches would understand though, based on the situation of your coach left you to go do a radio show at Super
Bowl. It's embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing.
By the way, our guests on the Pheasant Fest hotline, National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic, coming to the Kansas City Convention Center March 7th to the 9th. Visit Pheasant Fest.
How have they not fired him already? Like, there's, it's not even a discussion, it seems like. It's almost like the people, like, we are having to call him out for the university, University of Wisconsin Green Bay to even recognize, oh, yeah, maybe this is a bad idea, or was a bad idea.
They made a joke hire.
He says he was asked about it.
Back off the joke hire.
Doug Gottlieb was asked about it, why he's down there. The athletic director said he was aware of the trip months in advance. And it's also, he says, we know it's almost certainty it will happen again next year when the Super Bowl is in San Francisco. The Phoenix was off, did not practice Wednesday. Gottlieb won't be able to watch the team practice live on Thursday, but will have an opportunity to review the film.
He's going to watch his team with
assistant coach in preparation for their game on Saturday. He's expected back at practice Friday. So he will not miss a game, but he's missing 2 or 3 days of practice or 2 days of practice. He says it's a nothing burger that he's
I'm sure he does.
Oh my gosh.
Look, I'm not saying there's some elite level basketball program, because they're not. They haven't made an NCAA tournament in like a decade. They won 18 games last year.
Got another job, I believe.
They weren't a joke. 18 games last year, and now 2-22, 0-13 in the conference. They might be one of the 10 worst programs in college basketball this year.
Is anybody winless? I mean, otherwise they have to be the worst. Like, is somebody else winless? You go look at Ken Palm or something. We can find out really quickly. That's
out of the
crazy.
368 teams or 364.
Like,
whatever.
Green Bay's got to be like way down there.
I know that the story, like the fact that he was coaching in general, was a big deal. That doing his radio show. Here we go. The worst team is a 3-9. Ken Palm's different than by record. They're not. You know. By
Ken
record,
Palm says they're 344th out of 364.
But record-wise, they are tied for the worst record. Kinesis is 2-19. Win percentage, why they're worst. They're 2-22. But in terms of they're tied for the fewest wins in college basketball this year. Somehow they're better than a 4-19 New Hampshire team. I don't know.
I'm going to disagree. I think New Hampshire would kick their ass. Having never seen New Hampshire play a single dribble this season, I'm pretty sure that they would destroy Green Bay.
By the way, I do have evidence.
Who day, we respect you guys.
Dusty.
Shout out to Dusty.
What a kiss-ass move from Dusty. I'm just going to say, that's a kiss-ass move.
It's because he's right in front of you. It's because he's right in front of you.
He's going to kick your ass if you don't say who day?
That's just because...
He's a big dude.
It's just because he was in front of him.
But like, that would be...
Who day, we respect you guys.
That would be the same as you, Gold, a Kansas graduate, having a Missouri Tiger on there.
And we did on Radio Row. We had Chase Daniel last year.
And did you say M-I-Z he could say Z-O-U back?
In fact, him and I were giving each other a hard time about it.
It makes Gold you are the number one Bengals hater at the station. It makes you sick. It makes you sick.
Well, yeah, because like it's one thing you say, obviously, crazy, we got a lot of respect for you. We got a lot of respect for who you are. You're a great, great player, Trey. But then to add in,
Houdin, we respect you guys.
To add in, Houdin, you don't have to say, that'd be like me saying, go Eagles to our Eagles guest.
Go Birds.
No, we don't have to go say Birds. Go Birds. No, come on, Dusty. We have Dusty on tomorrow. We're going to have to address this.
Oh, well, I don't know if this is about Doug Gottlieb or this is about Dusty, but they said that guy sucks. Hope a bird craps on him. I would assume that's
about Doug Gottlieb.
I would hope so.
I'm assuming they're talking about Doug Gottlieb.
Hendrickson, by all accounts, seems like a perfectly normal dude.
I
hope a bird craps on him.
I'm not saying you can't respect other players for being great. Trey Hendrickson's a great player in this league. You say, hey, man, respect the hell out of you. Best of luck in the future. You don't have to say their big chant to them. Wait, that'd be like if all of a sudden Trey Hendrickson came by the table and said, I'm going to do the tomahawk chop with you guys. No, you don't do that. Come on, Dusty.
It's his first Radio Row. He's learning.
Dusty was excited. He sent me a picture and everything.
He'll know better for next time.
Wow.
He'll know
that
better.
We had odds on that happening. I was not expecting that. Although, in fairness, by mid-October, mid-November, he was still saying since he was making the playoffs. Drew, you got him all messed up, man. You got him all messed up.
I won't apologize.
Someone says maybe he has an excuse. Maybe he was hungover from hurricanes. I asked him earlier what he claims that tonight's the night for that. He said last night was a chill night. So
we'll see if he can join us. Maybe tomorrow or something like that. Maybe we'll bring it up.
So it was just Dusty. I figured Bob didn't say that. I figured
there's no way Bob. He would have been the last person. Other than you, Gold.
I might be the
one. He was wearing a Chiefs boat captain's hat. I don't think he's going to say who day. No. Maybe he did too. I don't know.
I want to know what was Dusty wearing today on the stream?
Chiefs sweatshirt.
Just a sweet Chiefs. Yeah.
He was wearing Chiefs gear and still said it. Wow. All right.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, I'm not saying you need to be rude to the guy. That's not, you can have respect for him. I'm just stunned that you said like they're rallying cry. That's what are we doing?
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But we know what? Again, he's learning. Dusty.
Someone wants to know if you think your ruse would drop 100 on the Green Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Be like Calvary Christian College all over again or whatever the name of that school
is. Can you imagine? You
some people are alleging you doctored the clip too. So we'll have to talk to Dusty and find out. I don't know what you're doing over there, Drew. People are saying you're up to some funny business with the clip. I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe Dusty's
claiming. Did you do
that.
Some of the clip?
Wow.
Doctored audio?
Hey, we respect you guys.
I will say this. The fact that you've asked Bob and
it
he
sounds
said
like,
yes.
Hold on. It sounds like,
Houdain, we respect
did
you guys.
Cut him saying Houdain Nation and then you just put, do we respect you next to the Houdain?
Oh, yeah. He did go back to back and say Houdain Nation. We respect you guys. Same sort of concept to me. If you asked Bob, did he say Houdain? And he said yes. He didn't say no. He said Houdain Nation.
We might have jumped too quick on Dusty. I got to hear the, he did say Houdain though.
He said Houdain.
Someone says, imagine if Brian Westbrook came on and Gold said, fly, Eagles, fly. It never would happen.
100%.
Never would happen. I can promise. It would never happen.
Yeah, you wouldn't be like, Brian, really appreciate the time. Thanks for going on. Go Birds. You wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't even
I don't think you'd say that.
You wouldn't even say all to all the Birds faithful. Because at that point, you're recognizing. I think Dusty recognized the Bengals for what they are. Like he recognized that group. He recognized the champ by saying it.
Again, I think that would be like.
Hold on, you say he recognized the champ?
Chant.
Okay. I was like, well, champion of what?
He should have said, you know, the Bengals, we respect you guys.
But like,
that's all he had to say.
Like, It doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter. Like, if
people are saying you doctored the clip, though, so I don't know, Drew. Now when Dusty comes on tomorrow, he's got a beef with you. I bet to pick.
All I'm saying,
I didn't doctor the audio. Let that be known.
All I'm saying is that you asked Bob, did he say Houdain? He didn't say Houdain Nation, and Bob didn't correct you and say no. He said Houdain Nation. He said yes, he did.
All right, Thanks to Fesco for checking.
He might have said it twice for all I know.
Thanks to Fesco for checking in. Now I feel like we absolutely have to have Dusty check in tomorrow.
Yeah,
and he might be upset with all of us at this point if we find out that clip was doctored. And I understand why he would be.
Doctor.
Otherwise, though, he deserves everything coming his way. All right, up next, let's get back into the Chiefs, specifically the wide receivers, and who could be more of a factor than we've talked about. And one thing has happened in the 3 Super Bowl wins during this run. Can it happen a fourth time? We'll tell you what that is next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.